Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This is a Lip Media podcast.
We acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which we are recording. We pay our respects to the elders past and present, and the Aboriginal elders of other communities who may be listening today. Welcome to The Gays Revolting, a definitive weekly news source for contemporary gays.
We put the G in LGBTQIA+, and we're here to help you be the best G you can be.
You can follow us on Instagram at Gays Revolting Pod or join our Facebook group at The Gays Are Revolting.
Hey guys, how are you? Nice to see you. So
I had last week off and I was very sad.
Yes, we missed you.
But Adolfo did a wonderful job filling in for me.
It was a good episode.
Yeah, yes. It was a great episode. Not as good as the ones that I'm on, but it was very good. Very good.
And Mikey's away this week, so I think he's still hungover from a wedding or something. Ooh. So it's just the three of us. We have your regular hosts. We have Thomas, whose new nicotine patch is holding him together, as well as scotch tape on the Titanic. And we have Luke, who's personality can be best described as permanently triggered. And me, Kyle. Hi.
Thank you, Kyle. That's
right. I just have to lick my nicotine patch so I don't attack you. I've not been smoking since Comedy
Festival. Congrats. No, that's really
crazy.
Good.
I mean, I've
that's
had a really couple good when I've been drunk, but I've not generally been smoking since Comedy Festival.
I can't see a spot of skin on you that's not covered in a patch.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. What's news? What's happening?
I went to the opera.
You went to the opera?
Oh, yeah. You went on that night with where the controversy happened.
There was some gay drama at the opera.
Gay drama?
Big deal, yeah.
It was like opening night of
Rigoletto, wasn't it?
Rigor Mortis.
That's what I was going to say.
Rigoletto. And I thought, yeah, a bit of culture, let's go to the opera. And the like announcement came on to like switch our phones off or whatever. And I watched this quite old man in the front row with a megaphone. And I was like, there must be a delay because the announcement is not matching his mouth. Like, it was a really bad lip sync or something. But then the announcement stopped and I realized, no, this guy's just going off. There's someone in a full tux.
Why?
With a, like, megaphone.
At Opera Australia. Like, this is a mega production.
In the front row
like protesting?
Yeah. And it took 20 minutes to get him out.
Who
staff
protests
members.
Opera? Like, what's... I don't...
Well, that's the thing about stories is I'm getting there.
Okay, shady bitch. Tonight.
And it took about 20 minutes, but I understand, like, it was so... I could see how difficult it was because he was 90 years old, basically. Right. Mm-hmm. And the ushers were like, do we just push him or can we... Like, it was really uncomfortable. Intermission happened, so I immediately just found...
The
like,
gayest looking usher you could
the
find.
The gayest looking... No, like, the opera gays that I could find. And said, what's the tea? And they immediately filled me on every single detail.
With references.
Wow. Yeah. And they told me, honey, that was George Dreyfus, who is this renowned Australian composer who had been commissioned by Opera Australia to write something for them. Mm. They paid him for it and then said, actually, we're going to go with Rigoletto instead. And so he decided...
So he was protesting them not using his word.
Bowler moved to buy front row tickets to opening night and be like, I'm going to fuck it up. Y'all.
Also, how did you smuggle
a megaphone? I know. Jesus. They took all my shit off of me.
Wow. You just had your megaphone to promote the gays are revolting.
I thought this was like show and tell. I was like, good, he's done. Now my turn. I've got a few
Koala.com. Use gays revolting at the checkout.
But it's a fun night.
So, and we're very excited to announce our second ever Melbourne live show. This time it's going to be at Brunswick Mechanics Institute. It's going to be Friday the 19th of July. Tickets go on sale this weekend.
Ooh, how exciting.
Ooh, if you didn't get in last time,
come along. It's
This
stay
is,
away.
Actually have to book tickets.
Yeah
because we sold out.
Like nails
and
emoji.
Kyle will give a free blowjob to everyone that books more than four tickets.
And there might be mechanics there.
Yeah,
who knows.
One thing I'd like to sort of mention before we get started, is something pretty awful happened earlier this week in the Melbourne gay scene. Yeah. I don't know if you guys saw in the news, some of our international listeners might not have seen it. I am glad it's getting coverage in the mainstream media, but in the early hours of the morning on Saturday last weekend, the Melbourne queer bookshop Hares and Hyenas was raided by the police. So there's an apartment upstairs. Yeah. You've been to Hares and Hyenas, haven't you?
I don't know what that is.
Oh, okay. So it's a, it's an amazing, it's been there for around for 30 years. Okay. It's a queer bookshop. They also have performance. We've spoken about it before.
Okay.
I think we talked about Mama Alto performing there and stuff.
Yes, okay.
So they have performance space as well. And it's also a cafe, and a lot of people just go there for sort of like a chill out space. They have like the Gay Things Market happens there and that sort of stuff. It's a really important queer space run by queer people. They have an apartment upstairs. The upstairs apartment was raided by the police. Yeah, middle of the night. They detained the two guys that own the shop, Roland and Crusader, but their housemate, Nick Demopoulos, who you might know runs the trough parties, you know. He thought it was an, as you would, you know, living above a gay bookshop in the middle of the night being raided with people with torches and, and guns, thought it was a, an anti-gay home invasion.
Oh,
and so he ran out through the shop out onto the street where he was tackled by police. They broke his arm in 11 reports are saying 11 different places. Looks like he might potentially lose the use of his arm. And the whole thing, so the police have now admitted that the whole thing was a case of mistaken identity. They're calling it. They'd been searching for what they've described as a Lebanese gang member, and they'd tracked the wrong car to the property. Nick, vaguely, the police said, looked like this person that they were looking for.
Can you, like, sue?
Yeah, well, this is the whole thing. So the police have said that they're doing an internal investigation. The owners are saying that they want it to go to independent inquiry and that sort of thing. And the really horrific thing about this is that it's, you know, it's not only severe police brutality, even if this was the person they were after, breaking someone's arm that badly is not okay, but also a really awful case of racial profiling, and also the fact that it's sort of happened on sacred ground, really, for the LGBTQIA community is really awful. So I just want to say our thoughts are with Nick and the guys that the whole team at Hares and Hyenas. It's awful news, and perhaps if anyone's listening that's hanging around in Fitzroy and passing by, pop in and get a coffee and say hi to the guys. And, you know, it's a lovely, wonderful space, and I was there just a couple of weeks ago and had a chat with the guys, and they're always up for a bit of a chat, so pop in and just say hi to them and tell them you're thinking of them. So, something huge is happening at the moment that we need to talk about.
Yes.
Every single person in Australia will be watching today. Of course, this is going to air on a very important day.
RuPaul's Drag Race.
Everyone will be voting. It's Eurovision. This episode will be going to air as the Australian federal election is happening. So, you might be listening to this as you're on your way to the polling booth. A little bit of a recap for our international listeners. Just a few important things to remember when thinking about the Australian election. It's compulsory for us to vote. We get fined if we don't vote. Like most Western countries at the moment, our political following is pretty much split 50-50 between two parties, one of which is harping on about the olden days and one of which is much more progressive. So we've got the Liberal Party, who are not very liberal.
It's confusing.
It's
very confusing. All
liberal,
the names.
The Liberal Party are the more conservative party, and then we've got the Labour Party, who is the more progressive party of the two major parties, and then the third party, which isn't as big as the other two but is gaining traction, is the Greens, which are far more progressive, again, compared to the Labour Party. And I feel like exciting things are happening with this election. I don't have you guys been following up closely?
Just the sausage.
Yeah, because that's a thing, right? When you vote, you go get like
there's a very Australian thing. We have sausages. Well, because like most voting happens at like community town halls and stuff. So to make a bit of money for the scout hall or for this primary school that it's happening at, they have a sausage to raise money for.
Last time I voted at a primary school, but we went later on in the day, so
they'd run out of sausages. What's really cute is Twitter have done a thing now where if you use the hashtag OzVotes, it automatically puts a sausage after it when you post your tweet.
So Australian.
I know.
Wow.
But I do feel like there's some exciting things happening. I feel like maybe it's a result of the marriage equality survey. So we had that a while ago.
Yeah.
And perhaps they've realised how much Australia cares about its LGBTQIA people. And so we're sort of starting to see parties, not for the first time, but definitely the most I've ever seen it, focusing on rights that concern our community, which is really exciting. All three parties have, you know, put forward plans of how they're going to spend their money with relation to our community. And there's been some interesting little queer things happening. One of the things that I was very surprised to see is Labour is now using Grindr to advertise. Yeah.
That's so
which
funny.
Which is kind of cool. And the great thing about Grindr is you can geotag your ads. So they can focus on areas that, you know, they need to focus on or that they feel like they haven't really spread their message to the LGBTQIA community. Or us.
I think it's hilarious. If it's Grindr, it's mainly gay men. But using the geo
locations
of Grindr.
What a great way to communicate to the people you want to communicate to.
Did we have Grindr?
We had Grindr ads.
Yeah, we had Grindr ads. Yeah. Yeah, they're basically copying us.
We're such trendsetters.
The Greens have used it before as well. I don't know if they used it at the last federal election, but they definitely used it at the last state election.
How to get the gays. Every single gay has
Which I think is great. The ads that they're using, they decided to use after a bit of a story. I don't know if you guys saw. Did you see the Luke Creasy story? So Luke Creasy, not to be confused with comedian Joel Creasy, who's been getting a lot of messages on social media.
Gay Creasy.
Luke Creasy was the Labour candidate for Melbourne, a gay man. He was gaining quite a bit of traction in traditionally Greens held seat, and it came to light that he'd shared some offensive memes in 2012, and then some screenshots from a private group chat on Facebook were also leaked, where he was using questionable language around women and that's his female friends and stuff like that. So Scott Morrison called for Bill Shorten to disendorse him straight away. It was like totally on the offensive. Get rid of him, that sort of thing.
So I heard that the stuff that got revealed, it wasn't from public posts, it was private messages. No,
well, he had shared some memes publicly on his Facebook, but then a lot of the stuff was from screenshots. Dug up and, screenshots from private group chats. People are trying to fuck him over.
That's why I screenshot you.
But look, you know, the stuff he was saying, I'm not endorsing the stuff that he was saying, like it was not good stuff, but I kind of feel sorry for the guy. I think it was from 2012. He was 22 at the time. And I mean, the stuff was nowhere near as bad as some of the stuff that you see other politicians saying, for example.
Yes, I think there's
I don't know if you saw Gurpal Singh.
He's the one that was linking gays to pedophiles?
Exactly.
Oh my God.
So Scott Morrison says that Luke Creasy should be disendorsed for a private Facebook chat.
Whereas Gurpal Singh is saying that
on radio and in interviews that during the marriage equality debate that homosexuality is like compared to pedophilia and that sort of thing. And then Scott Morrison was like, oh no, that's fine. We've dealt with that internally.
He apologized.
Crazy double standards from the Liberal Party on this sort of stuff, which is really annoying me.
Well, I think there's been a few people that are getting cancelled because of previous chats. And something I always remember is that we've talked about it on this show, slamming people for comments that they've made, you know, 10 years ago or whatever. Yeah. So the important thing is to be consistent about things.
Yeah.
If you as a person are happy accepting an apology from one person for previous comments, because the response is always the same when someone's in a position of power. They apologize, say that they've personally grown and that they weren't the same person at that time and they've learned from their mistakes and now they're different. I always get really confused because I'm like, oh, but this person stayed cancelled.
Yes.
Even though they said that, but this other person is okay now.
Yeah.
So we're in this really weird gray area. Yeah. Some of them are clearly...
I think also, like, Luke, he's quite young, right? Like, are we more forgiving with younger people? Because, like...
in my mind, I feel like because he was so young when he made those posts,
I mean, you just say... Like, everyone says stupid shit when they're young and, like, post whatever.
But I feel like he's been the most classy, for want of a better word. So he, as soon as it came out, he was like, yeah, I shouldn't have done that. I'm actually wrong. He resigned. He took full responsibility for it and said, if anything comes from this, I hope that young people will learn from my mistakes and realize that their social footprint will be around forever.
Oh, yes. Totally.
Which which I think is a great response. So what really shits me about this whole situation is that Scott Morrison was like begging for this kid's blood about some fairly tame stuff in the major scope of stuff, but then had Gurpal Singh, who he stood by even after these homosexuality is like pedophilia comments, and then didn't disendorse him until an interview surfaced of him accusing a victim of rape of being her fault and defending. And saying that the perpetrator was the real victim in the situation. And that's when they finally were like, oh, yeah,
you're definitely cancelled.
And then only a few hours ago, like as we were recording, it was only a few hours ago that another Liberal Party member has surfaced and they haven't disendorsed him as well. It was Alan Green, who's the Liberal candidate for Greenway in Sydney's West. And he'd posted his support for the repealing of same-sex couples' rights to adopt because he didn't think they should be allowed to adopt. He said marriage equality would lead to the abolishment of Mother's Day and Father's Day.
Oh, absolutely. And shared
And then he shared a whole lot of anti-Muslim posts as well. But he's still, Scott Morrison standing by him still.
These people are horrible people.
It's fucking awful.
Oh, God.
We got criticized. I don't know if you guys saw, but we got a review.
About our political views
on
the show.
Someone reviewed our podcast. Fine. But they said that we said, apparently in one episode, we said that anyone votes Liberal is a cunt.
I don't remember that, although it does kind of sound like something you might say.
But no, but I would never, we would never, first of all, I don't think any of us would use that word.
Yeah.
Maybe a guest said it or something. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. I don't think that if you vote Liberal.
Was it Tom Ballard?
It could have been.
Maybe it's Tom Ballard.
It could have been Tom Ballard. That sounds like something
Tom
Ballard
ruining it for us, Tom.
I don't think that people that vote Liberal are cunts, but I do think that probably what's happening is they think they're voting fiscally and they're not really voting in a human rights.
Well, that's the thing. Someone actually said this to me today at work saying, oh, I'm going to fill out like an online quiz.
Yes, I wanted to do that quiz.
To like figure out who I should vote for because my husband
the ABC voting compass
is voting Liberal.
Yeah.
Because we need to be aware of like our fiscal responsibilities for our family now. And I thought, oh, it's even harder to think up the term because of our Liberal Labour Party names. Mm-hmm. But in America, there's that socially liberal, financially conservative stereotype that I think we're starting to get here as well. Mm. I dated someone as well who was like a staunch liberal supporter.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because his family were farmers. He grew up in the country and he voted depending on what financially was best for his family back home. But socially he was a gay man in a gay relationship and wanted what was best for us as a couple and for his friends and that network. And part of me just thinks it's getting really confusing.
Look, it is. And there's also a lot of rhetoric that goes around with this as well. And the fiscal thing is really interesting because I don't think it's true anymore.
That's what I was saying. Is like, I don't
think it's a thing.
I said to her, like, I think there's another option for you financially than having to vote away your social conscience.
Yes.
I meter a lot of like where the world is by talking to my Uber drivers because I catch a lot of Ubers. And even on the way here, I was like, oh, one of our topics tonight is like the federal election. And he was like, I don't even know who is running. He had no idea because there have been so many changes just this year alone.
It's crazy with Australia.
For like the average person or whatever, it's hard to keep track of who you're rooting for or like who's representing you best if we have like a revolving door policy happening within our government. That he was like, I felt like I just voted last week. Is this a different one?
And, oh God.
And
then
the people that I knew that I used to vote for are all gone. Because they've done shitty stuff on Facebook. And now there's these new people that I don't know who they are. So how am I supposed to make a decision?
Yeah.
I kind of related to that the most, being like, well, I can't really tell you, to be honest, because that's the political landscape
Absolutely,
at the moment.
Yeah. I feel like I'm in the same boat as your Uber driver. Obviously, we've had political topics before,
and I
don't contribute
ways.
Too much because I'm not very politically minded. Yeah. Like, I've been away from my parents a lot, and I guess you grow up with kind of your parents' political views, and you always have this kind of conversations around the dinner table, and I guess I've kind of missed out on that, so I've never really been too much a part of it.
And also, in this,
so much stuff is changing constantly. It is very hard to keep up.
And there's also this whole thing of fake news now, and it's so easy to put out the wrong information. Like, you saw those leaflets being circulated in Chinese language around Melbourne that were just lies about the Labour Party, which had been secretly printed by, you would assume, someone that supports the Liberal Party. There's a whole lot of misinformation going around. And to go back to this fiscal thing, this thing that the Liberal Party bashed on about how good they are with money, people are forgetting that it was Labour that got us Australia through the global financial crisis in one of the best Western countries after it, thanks to Labour under Kevin Rudd. I'm not going to go into all of it because this is not a financial podcast, but
it is.
This old notion of Labour don't know what they're doing with money, I think is not true anymore. I think they're actually quite forward thinking with all of that stuff, as well as these socially progressive things. Other really important things to remember when you're thinking about the human rights side of this election is that 9 members of the Liberal Party either voted no or abstained from voting for marriage equality after they'd already forced us to decide what we wanted. So we said, yep, we want it. And then 9 of them either said no or said, oh, I can't vote in this, which I think is pretty fucking awful after they made us go through that whole thing, including the current Prime Minister, Scott Morrison,
empty
as
promises,
well, which is...
That's
pretty awful.
Horrible.
And also Scott Morrison wants to introduce these religious freedoms bills, which will basically just enshrine in law religious organizations' freedom to discriminate against people. And this is the same guy that stopped laws from going through that would have stopped kids from being able to be kicked out of religious schools for being gay as
That's right.
He's not a socially progressive person. So what I would say is if you want to vote Liberal, you're not a cunt, but do your research and make sure you know what you're voting for. In fact, everybody, please do your research, do some reading. ABC's Compass tool is amazing. You can put in how you feel about a whole lot of different topics and then it'll tell you what to vote for. So
that's
if you haven't voted yet,
well, I'll be using that.
Because good idea.
It also tells you which character you're most like on Friends.
Perfect, okay, great.
I think you're a Monica.
No, she's way too organized.
Who are you voting for?
Well, at this stage, I'm voting for Greens.
Yep.
The way I kind of do it is I take a whole lot of people I respect and I see who they're voting for.
Traditionally, I've always voted Greens at mm-hmm. federal elections.
Yes. I think because I've only voted once since I enrolled to vote for the plebiscite. Mm. Yeah, so I've had to vote last time. What was that for? That was for
the state election.
State election. Yeah. So I voted Greens then.
Yeah. So, but I think I'm going to go for Clive Palmer's United mm-hmm. Australia Party.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, you clearly know nothing about politics. No,
I was like, I think that's the bad one, but your really, face is convincing.
One of the really
me.
Bad ones.
Yeah.
No, I'm. I think I might vote Labor. Boy. Look, we're recording this a few days before the election, so I've still got a few days to decide. But I feel like it's time for Labor to really mm-hmm. smash it. I think they're going
to.
So,
how long ago was Labor in power? You said to me the other day you haven't been to the gym since Labor was in power.
Don't tell people these things.
So when Jesus. Was that? I'm curious. I'm just trying to make sense of your joke.
It's been 6 years. Fuck you. They've had 2 terms. For me, I think I'm going Labor, and it's a change for me, and I'm excited about it.
Mm. I'm just doing a donkey.
What's a donkey?
A donkey vote is when you just draw a dick or just...
You just, like, throw
you
your just, vote.
You get your name ticked off so you don't get fined, and then you just can write on there, listen to the gays revolting.
Yes.
Yeah. No, I'm not going to do that. I always vote Greens, mm-hmm. mainly because I have Stockholm Syndrome, and I was... plied alcohol by a Greens member when I was 16. Mm-hmm. But
I mean, climate change is a big thing. And they need to really get on that. So.
I do relate with the Greens' ideologies, and I've always been underdog supporter. Mm-hmm. And I think the more numbers that you can chuck to an underdog give them the momentum that they need to actually no longer be an underdog. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've always been, ever since I've been able to vote, a Greens voter. Mm-hmm. And I don't see that changing anytime soon. We've actually been looking into our social media usage at work.
Oh, really?
A fair bit. Yeah. There was an announcement made that Instagram was trialing a potential change to their platform, which mm-hmm. is massive, in order to create a safer and healthier environment for its users. That big change would be removing, basically being able to see how many likes post had got.
Mm-hmm. So for other of you, you could see your own likes, but you can't see other people's likes.
Exactly. Yeah. So you could get the fulfillment of knowing 1,000 people mm-hmm. liked my photo, but for any other user, they would...
It's just content.
I think they can see one of your mutuals.
Yeah, it might be.
Had seen it. And basically they were implementing this because it's pretty widely documented the impacts that social media has had on mental health across the globe and across many different demographics. Mm. It's kind of straightforward and it makes sense. But unfortunately, social media isn't going anywhere anytime soon. No. And there are a lot of reports about the negative impacts that it has in terms of confidence and self-worth. It's really impacted people's day-to-day lives and how they view themselves. Mm. The weird thing is they're trialing this first in Canada, which
Canada.
I thought was really funny because when I think of the places that are probably like these utopian, happy places, I think Canada is one of the
and
first.
New Zealand.
And New Zealand. Yeah. It's like, I would trial this in Sydney. Or LA.
Those Sydney gays.
To get a real measure of the impact that it would have upon people. But I thought it was interesting to chat about in our relationships to Instagram in particular.
Yeah.
Gay men have, I think, taken the Instagram ball and run with it.
Yes.
In a lot of ways, we are kind of on the forefront of the thirst trap initiative.
New shoes, close-up photo of my butt. Mm.
There's so much drama going on right now with this, but with the influencer... community as well.
Because his kid's been...
YouTuber, Charles.
What did he
Charles?
Oh, okay, so very quickly, this is not
this
the
is
topic.
All over.
I fucking love this. James Charles is friends with a different influencer named Tati, who has her own brand of
hair. She was like one of the first ever makeup tutorial people on YouTube. You know,
I'm bored already.
She has her own brand of hair supplements. And he did an Instagram story promoting
a competitor
brand.
Oh my God.
And so she did a little vague post about how upset she was with some of her quote unquote friends for not supporting her.
Oh my God.
And so James Charles did another story saying, I'm so sorry. That's not what I meant. Mm. I love you. And she sounded off and did a 47
minute
YouTube video calling him him a snake and saying he was basically the worst person in the world.
Oh yeah. My God. This is so pathetic.
No, but he's lost millions and millions of
followers. Yeah. But this is all, like, this is, well, maybe yeah, this is why it's great that Instagram is doing
like, this. Is like
because he's all like, so fake.
Like, it's ridiculous. Right?
It's so ridiculous, much drama and I don't understand how fit.
Okay, well then, but, yeah, I totally agree. If this likes thing, I mean, yeah, look, they're doing a trial and then, if it's going to help people's mental health and get rid of narcissistic
but people aren't following him because people are calling him out on being a predator towards straight guys.
Yes.
And everyone's confirming this to be true and like that he is using his fame in an evil way. Yeah. Now. Anyway, and it's like this whole thing.
I do not care about him. Look it up. Canceling everyone unfollow. What's his name?
James Charles.
Prince Charles. Okay, but going back to the
actual thing is Instagram, a lot of people I think follow all four of us.
Thank you. Love your support.
Anyone who does probably notices that I'm the least consistent
you're
social
on private, though.
Media user. I know. Like, if I know you follow the show, I'll accept it because I'm like, you're supporting the show or whatever. But prepare to be disappointed because I post once every like 3 months when I'm like in a good spot.
Yeah.
But I'm like a chronic, I'm taking a break from social media type of person. Because it just fucks me up totally. Someone who's susceptible to low self-esteem, has bouts of depression and things like that.
Yeah.
Social media is like a minefield. Like, I love it because it's exhilarating. But I know every time I open up the apps, I'm like heading down a potential minefield.
So interesting. We've sort of touched on this before. Mm-hmm. Personally, for me, I use Instagram to follow actors, writers, musicians, or whatever that I'm interested in from the real world just to sort of get updates what they're doing. But I don't follow any thirst traps or any influencers. Yeah. I couldn't name, besides this Charles Fellow. That I now know about. I couldn't name a single YouTube influencer for you.
You get a lot of
or
those
Instagram one.
Really fake.
So type. For me, whenever I've felt overwhelmed by social media and I've had to have little breaks and that sort of stuff, I've deleted Facebook, I've deleted Twitter. I've never felt the need.
Do you find that helps? Do you find like you feel
absolutely.
Like rejuvenated
afterwards? But I personally
have
never felt the need to delete Instagram because I don't feel like it's one of those platforms that makes me feel shit after I've been on it. But that's probably because I'm not following the pretty boys in jock straps and shit.
It's really weird. It's like, have you ever watched episodes of Hoarders where they're like, I just bought one thing from the shop and now I'm shitting in a barrel and I'm caved into my own house like surrounded by shit.
Yeah.
Instagram like was like that for me where I was I think I followed one account.
Yeah.
And I think I started looking into these accounts because we were potentially going to have a segment about it on this show.
About
that.
Yeah.
A few weeks later, I was shitting in a barrel
covered
in crap that I was my timeline's full of this.
Yeah.
Because the algorithms then start suggesting and putting things specifically into your feed, whether you've followed them or not.
Yeah.
So that was like really confronting that I needed to kind of step away. I've gone through and culled a lot of stuff out of my timeline. So it's just visual artists and like interior design and people that I know.
I think that is important every now and then to go kind of through the people you're following and to cull a lot of the trashy stuff out and just kind of keep more positive content in your feed, stuff that inspires you, like artists. Like, I follow a lot of artists as well, like visual artists. And then also, I like to follow celebrities that I like to keep track of. Mm. Also, there's a new feature now that I've noticed that you can mute people's stories or their feed. So you can still follow them. You always get those kind of weird family members that you feel like you have to follow, but you're like,
sort of like removing from your Facebook timeline.
Yes, exactly.
Smart.
Yeah, so you can do
that. I feel like the stories that I feel like you hear more about though in with, you know, kids being bullied and that sort of stuff. Because I think it's probably more focusing on younger kids, especially who are more susceptible to this kind of thing. It seems to me that those stories are more about comments that are being made about them rather than them not getting enough likes.
Oh, like cyberbullying.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Maybe it would be better if they restricted it so you could only comment on somebody that's following you back, so that if someone was posting shit on your
so you could
thing,
filter out a bit more. You can turn your
Charles
comments
fellow.
Off.
I think ultimately it's more of a dynamic change. Yes. It's because I think the impact it's had on young people is saying there is a very clear metric for validation and it's very easily comparable to your peers.
Yeah.
It's saying if you want to be good,
just
you
competing
need
with everyone.
X amount of this likes. Thing. And by removing likes, it's shifting what that platform's for, especially for young people that are just starting to get into social media, to say your likes are meaningless because no one else can see them. It's just a platform for you to post photos on now.
Absolutely. It's removing the competition and it's increasing the authenticity of like people's posts. It's making better content. And
I guess so.
I think so. I'm really curious to see how it goes in Canada.
I hope they do it.
the other feature I find really weird on Instagram, because I don't understand the function of it, mm-hmm. I found out there's like a little tab where it just lists what photos
yeah.
other people have liked.
Yeah.
Oh, who yes, you
yeah,
follow.
Yeah, I never use that.
And I forget about that, honestly. Yeah.
It's so bizarre. Yeah. It's just like, I can't imagine what purpose that has.
I think that would be really bad for your psyche, especially if you like had a crush on somebody and then you go see them.
Yeah,
liking.
I think that's,
like, that would fuck yeah, with your head.
Absolutely.
I think it only exists to make uh-huh. you a crazier person.
I remember sure. going through a bad breakup, and that tab, it was not good for me. Yeah. I was hounding that, like, obsessive, trying to see what this person was liking because yeah. it wasn't me.
Why does so that tab exist?
I don't know. Like,
yeah, it's just bizarre.
Sometimes in Facebook, it'll pop up and say so-and-so liked or commented on whatever yeah. post or stuff as well. I guess it sort of adds that element to the whole network so that you can then follow more people, I guess.
Yeah, so it's more like connections, yeah. like people are people. Yeah,
but yeah, that's an unhealthy tab. Stay away from that tab.
Mikey
yeah,
likes a good. Lot of thirst traps.
Yeah. I see. Stalking Mikey.
Mikey likes heaps of them.
I know I've been guilty of in the past, but like, have you guys ever deleted a post because it wasn't getting enough likes?
I didn't know that that's something you should be doing. No, I've definitely
it's like,
never
it's
done
so
that.
Stupid. Like, now I feel like as I'm getting older, I do care less. Like, I feel like I hardly
post. So you're
post.
Saying, so because you're yeah. an Insta celebrity.
What
you're saying is that if you put a post up and not enough people like it, you delete it.
I've done that years ago. But isn't I know people who do that
so
now. So it's just like, this photo's better than that. I can do better. Like, because oh people are very calculated with the kind of times of day and stuff that you post.
I mean, I do that only if it's something about like I need
so
to sell
measuring your
or
validation
like
from the likes and that.
Oh, I've never yeah. thought to delete something because it didn't have enough likes. So the idea is yes. that the perception of other people that come to your page for the first time and then go, yeah. "Oh, he's not that good. He only got 5,000 likes on that picture."
Also, yeah. since
by
added-
your metric, I would delete yeah. everything off my Instagram. Sorry,
I find I hardly post anymore since they like completely ripped off Snapchat and added their story feature on Instagram. And then
Grindr
so
got that as well.
Grindr. Does it?
No, they've got multiple.
So you can upload a yeah. temporary like 24-hour photo or video and then right. it disappears after that. Yeah. So I find it's just way less commitment and I do that a lot, but then I actually hardly ever post proper photos anymore.
Snapchat was
your
lit.
Fans are missing you, darling.
Oh, I just
can you please endorse my hair product that I've started selling on Instagram?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
A topic I'm very passionate about, a phenomenon that is hard to escape.
And hard to say, apparently.
Yeah, phenomenon.
Phenomenon.
CNN.
Phenomenon.
Yes. Marvel, Avengers.
Yeah.
Mm.
Have you guys seen it?
No.
I mean, you're not into it at all, are you, Tom?
Oh, I've decided I'm going to. I watched Thor Ragnarok.
That's
I saw.
A good one.
Oh,
yeah,
that's
very funny.
That was really
and
good.
Some great Kiwi actors.
I really liked that one. And I really want to get into it. I know
yes,
I will
it's
like
very good.
It. But
it's
I
one
have, stand. I know nothing
so
about what you're going to talk
stand.
About. I've got stand.
Yeah, okay, watch it.
Yeah, I know. I'm too busy.
So it's a huge, huge thing. Can't escape it. It's like the second highest grossing film of all time now.
Yeah. After
I mean,
what?
I
Titanic?
Grew up with comic books. No, Titanic's actually now third. It's right after Avatar.
Ooh.
Oh, God, I haven't seen Avatar either.
Yeah, that's ages
in my
ago.
Mind, Titanic's still a recent film. So this
boy.
Very new news to me.
You're the little old lady that dropped in the ocean at the end. But the Russo brothers who did the Avengers are now hinting that they are going to reveal a gay character in the Marvel Universe.
Oh, great.
And
I thought they were all gay based
know,
on the
like,
posters.
They're saying it's someone that we already know. So they're being
ooh.
All like, ooh, who
but
is
I hope
it?
It's Thor.
Yeah, I know. Oh, Thor.
Because aren't they rebooting the universe after this film.
No. The Avengers Endgame now.
Yes.
It's the last Avengers movie off that roster. Hopefully this isn't spoilery. But so off the original team, because so many new members have come into it.
Yeah.
So the originals won't be in the future movies.
So they're still sort of tied off their storylines and then...
Mm-hmm. So it's the largest collective movie universe that's ever been.
And so out of this new cast, there's going to be
LGBT. So there'll be someone we already know. So maybe it could be Spider-Man, Tom Holland, gay vibes.
Oh, he's spunky.
Yeah.
I like
yeah.
He was gay in the comics, wasn't he, for a
Spider-Man?
Bit?
Spider-Man? I don't think so. Oh, that's the alternate Spider-Man, Miles Morales. He's bisexual and biracial. It's crazy to me that there hasn't been much representation in the Marvel Universe at all, really, because there have been so many movies. It's such a giant collective thing, and they've never really shown it. So I'm very excited for it. I think putting two and two together, I think it could be the newest one, Captain Marvel, that's come out. I feel like it could be her, because she gave me real lesbian vibes when I watched the movie. I would be so for that, because she's such a great character.
Yeah.
It was the first female-led Marvel movie, so it'd be very woman empowerment.
Yeah.
You know what I gotta say, and I'm sorry this is a bit of a bummer, but in terms of LGBT representation in mainstream comics, I'm kind of a little bit over them defaulting to lesbian characters.
Right. That's true, like, hey, because it's like a sexualized thing, probably.
It's a little sexualized and like a little fetishy. Yeah. And I'm no stranger to Comic-Con and a Supernova festival, I know the demographic that they're pitching this stuff at, and I know what would probably not sit with them well is a camp gay male.
I was about to list off all the characters in the Marvel Universe that I know to be gay or bisexual, and you're right, majority are female. Like Mystique is bisexual, she's had female relationships. Valkyrie, there's like a clone of Wolverine, she's a lesbian. That's
the
nuts.
Deadpool characters.
Deadpool's pansexual. He always makes gay jokes and stuff, but like hitting on Colossus and things.
Wasn't there like a lesbian couple in Deadpool?
Oh, in the movie, sorry. Yukio and Negasonic Teenage Warhead.
Yeah.
And they were really cute, and I like their part, their small part in his movie.
Like, I don't want it to come across like I am complaining about representation. I know the classic meme of like gay people asking for representation in films and then them getting gay representation and saying, I don't want this.
Yes.
Like, that's not what I'm saying. Yeah. I'm just wanting a bit more diversity in the representation, specifically in terms of the Marvel comic universe. Yeah. Because I know how vitriolic the response is to when male characters are perceived as in any way feminine or gay by that community.
Yeah, because a lot of that community is male dominated. They are especially
basically,
the types
they're
that
just
I would
putting
think,
pretty women into you're saying they're putting them into
because they
like,
can put them in skimpy costumes
and
big
then
busty boobs,
giving them a lesbian straight men a lesbian fantasy.
Absolutely.
I just hope, I mean, this sounds like a really great thing, and obviously how huge, I mean, Marvel has just named a stadium in Melbourne, like it's huge at the moment, so for them to be doing such great representation is fantastic. I just hope they properly do it, and it's not like one of those tokenistic things like when Disney said that the live remake of Beauty and the Beast, that Gaston's mate, what was he called?
True.
Was going to be like the first gay Disney character, and there was like a slight wink in the movie, and there was never really.
Yeah, it was so disappointing.
It was,
Well, it sounds like there will be actually more than one. Like they've hinted that some of the characters we already know are, and then they'll be introducing new openly gay characters.
Oh, wow.
So
okay,
it'll be quite interested to see how they do it.
Captain Marvel and the case of the missing ammo bottle.
And the snatched wigs.
I mean, I would watch the hell out of that.
If you see some of the guys that are still standing at Poof Doof at 10 o'clock in the morning, like they are fucking superheroes in my books, I can tell you that.
But like, speaking of gay superheroes, in an earlier episode, we mentioned how Ruby Rose was probably portraying Batwoman.
Yeah.
Like the TV series. Yeah. And I think a trailer dropped for that recently. I'm yet to watch it. Yeah. So I'm curious to see how that'll
that
go.
Look, that's exciting.
Yeah, it ended up happening for her.
I'm not a huge fan of hers, but it's exciting that we're having some representation in that world.
It is happening.
Have you guys ever heard of a show, TV show called Outland? It's only a few years old. I highly recommend you guys watch it. It's a gay sci-fi club. It's written and starring Adam Richard, the gay comedian who our predecessor again from Talking Puffy. It's about a gay sci-fi club, basically. It's also got Christine Arnoux, who plays an indigenous disabled lesbian, which is
she's
wonderful.
Great.
She's so good in it as well. But I highly recommend it for any nerds that are into, because they talk a lot about comic books.
Okay.
There's a lot of Clark and Dawes style conversations about comic book heroes and that sort of thing being gay and which of their favourites are secretly gay and stuff. I highly recommend it.
Growing up for me, it wasn't really ever the Avengers. Ty and I were always obsessed with the X-Men.
X X-Men.
X-Men. Oh, yeah. I think it's so funny because they're so representative of queer people, and because their whole message, their common theme is they are going against prejudice, and they are a society of people that have all this prejudice against them, and they are not accepted by society.
Well, they've got Hugh Jackman on their team. They'd have to be, wouldn't they?
But like where the Avengers are like loved and cherished and worshipped, the X-Men are seen as horrible people in society, and there's that whole divide, having to retreat to the sewers because they're not accepted in mainstream society. I don't know if it was like a subconscious thing that resonated with me, which is what made me love them, or if it was just the really cool costumes and powers. I don't know. I think a lot of people,
it's exciting times. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago, like the representation we got 25-30 years ago in mainstream media compared to now, it's really fucking exciting.
We've talked on the show in the past about our relationships to gay venues, also about substance abuse or like using drugs. You know, I think this is the first time we've actually, none of us are drinking, literally.
But we did have a glass of wine.
I had a wine before.
But we drink pretty much every week when we record. So I'm reading and seeing a lot more about the relationship between specifically gay men and alcohol. A really interesting little statistic in there was that they found that gay men were like twice as likely to become either alcohol dependent or dependent on like substances. I think the community is made a pretty clear stance on substance abuse, but there's still some weird blurry boundaries around alcohol and the way that we use it, the impact it has on our community, and how to have a healthy relationship with alcohol as gay men. We all drink a lot, but like I've also been dry for I think the last month.
You should use
a good moisturizer. Really well.
I have. My skin is actually worse. That's a myth I want to like clear up right now. Is like I've been dry for a month and like I'm not glowing by any means and like I'm not feeling amazing.
Yeah, I know.
But it's like a measure that I take, and I do it a couple times a year when I'm like burning out and like not taking care of my mental health, is that I just step away from drinking because I can remember the start of this year, I was just like a roller coaster, and when I drink, I drink like beyond my ability because I'm quite small in stature. And it just leads to this real roller coaster of really high highs, really low lows, and it's socially acceptable for me to do so.
So socially expected, really.
So it's a kind of like cheat way for me to get away with just like not taking care of myself because my mates and society and the gay culture at large is quite happy to forgive seeing someone having a bit of a bender. But is there a better way for us to form relationships with alcohol, or is there a more informed way for us to be? Another really interesting factoid that I saw today was someone had done like a poll of LGBT spaces in I think 6 countries with like really large LGBT demographics, and they took about 90 venues and only 4 of them were not nightclubs or bars. So there's this huge skew, and there's a bit of a roll-on effect in there in terms of the pressure to actually go out and drink.
Absolutely.
Because how else can you get that physical connection if you were not comfortable going to a bar and drinking? I think in theory it's easy to say, well, go and don't drink.
I hate when people use that phrase.
Anyone listening that has ever tried that,
it never
approach,
works.
It's so difficult. It's really awkward. And it makes other people uncomfortable as well. You can see
Because they just want to let loose and like have you be the same as them and just feel comfortable.
I think it's also compounded by the fact that like Australia as a whole,
such a big drinking
has
culture,
a huge drinking culture already. So then when you add on top of that, especially gay men, but the whole LGBT community's connection to these sorts of spaces, it really adds on to that drinking culture that we already have underlying already.
Something I was thinking about as well is when I first moved to Melbourne, I had a local pub that I'd go to maybe 4 nights a week because I didn't know anyone. It was somewhere near my house. People were really friendly. So I'd just go and drink, and I became friends with this woman who I very quickly realized had a drinking problem, like a serious drinking problem. And I realized how awful an effect that can have on someone's life and how hard it was to step in or actually assist in that scenario because so much of our cultural identity was sculpted around the pub and going to the pub. This was a woman who would drink on a Tuesday night, like a quiet night. She'd drink 12 pints of Magnus ciders, which are like the long neck bottles. And that was like water off a duck's back to it. That was just like starting night.
Wow.
And the more I got to know her, I realized, oh my God, she's drinking like at work. She had vodka under her desk at reception.
It's expensive though as well. Drinking is so expensive.
And she looked about 20 years older than her actual age. Funny side note is we were all there with some of my friends one night. She got plastered.
Yeah.
I think she'd had about 15 ciders that night and couldn't walk straight. And my friend came up to me and was like, is your friend okay? Should she be drinking? And I didn't know very much about problematic alcohol use at the time. That I was like, yeah, that's how she drinks. She does it every night.
Yeah.
And she's like, but isn't she pregnant?
Oh.
And I was like, no, she's not. She just had the body.
Oh, right.
Because of the amount.
A large sort of gut
area. Mm-hmm. And then I also thought, if you actually thought she was pregnant, you just sat there while she stole 15 beers.
Oh my God, so true.
15 beers.
That's
crazy. What the fuck?
Yeah. Like, whoa.
But no one knew how to help her and no one knew where the line was to
like
say,
overstepping. Yeah.
Say to a friend, I think you need to put down the bottle, Stacey. Her name wasn't Stacey. you know, that it's tricky. It's a tricky
thing.
It's
a hard one.
Yeah, I did have a housemate quite a few years ago when I first moved out of home. He was like a good friend of my brother and I. And I feel like he did have a drinking problem. And he would drink most days in the week. Mm. And whenever we would go out together clubbing, he would just take it to a next level. And he'd kind of like ruin other people's nights because you would have to end up looking after him. Yeah. And then you would have to kind of drag him and then like carry him through the door.
Yeah.
It's like you're friends with this person and you want to help them, but you don't want to create any tension. So you kind of just allow it to happen. Mm. For me, I do drink most weekends, I guess, socially. Mm. I'm not really a person that'll like just have a few drinks during the week after work. Like I won't normally have wine. Like maybe if I go out for dinner, I'll drink a lot, I guess, on a Saturday. I think that's normal, like air quotation marks, for like an Australian in this age group. Yeah, I've never felt that I needed to stop. How do you guys feel?
I think you need to stop.
you're embarrassing yourself. You're slurry.
From what I've seen.
I would say I'm probably a high-functioning binge drinker.
Okay.
And I would say that I'm in a similar boat to a lot of gay men of a certain age. Basically, if you're old enough to remember the 80s or the 90s, I think like a lot of gay men in Australia of that age are in a similar boat to me.
Yeah, absolutely.
In that I don't wake up in the morning and need to have a drink. I don't need to have a drink when I'm at work like that. In fact, it's just a night where I get home from work, make dinner, watch some TV, hug the dog, go to bed, I don't have a drink those nights.
Yeah.
But if I'm having a drink, I will drink and drink and drink.
Yeah.
High functioning in the fact that I'll always be at work the next day and I'll be fine and I won't let it affect me. Mm-hmm. High functioning in the fact that I'll always be able to get myself home.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing as Lucas was saying before, is I can't be out and not drink either. So I have to.
Yeah.
And so that's sort of a bit of a problem when you're doing gigs
absolutely.
A couple of times a week in gay venues because, you know, it's free drinks and I'll just drink until... And
people buy you drinks.
Yeah,
exactly.
And then you put on top of that, like, you know, going out once or twice socially as well.
Yeah.
But it's also a hard thing because I don't find it problematic because it doesn't affect my my work. It doesn't affect my relationships with people. I don't get to a point where I'm falling over and vomiting and that sort of thing. I'll just do something silly and have a good story to tell the next time I'm hosting trivia or the next time I'm on the podcast or something like that. And it's sort of a love-hate thing as well with alcohol because I love those nights.
Yeah.
Like they're really fun and I really look forward to them as well. And also because alcohol is really what got me on the gay scene. I mean, before being on the physical gay scene and going into my first gay pub, which was Diva on Commercial Road, I remember Tabitha Turlington was on stage. And as soon as I walked in the door, she pulled me on stage and gave me a shot.
Oh, wow. She started it all.
Yeah, she started it. But until I walked into that first gay bar, like I felt so out of place in the world. And I had no, like I had my school friends and they were lovely people. I had my family and stuff, but I just did not feel part of their world until I found gay bars. And then as soon as I could, I got a job at a gay bar. And it was alcohol that sort of welcomed me into that because I could have it. I was so nervous when I first started going there. So, you know, you drink to get rid of the nerves and then you sort of become part of that family. So it's alcohol that sort of welcomed me to the gay scene as
well. Absolutely.
So it's sort of a weird love-hate thing. And then I'm sort of go, well, you know, it's bad that you drink that much when you drink, but they're the fun nights.
Yeah. I think the approach that a lot of LGBT places are taking initiative and looking at is how can we welcome new younger members into the community
which is great.
Without having to provide them alcohol.
Yeah.
Because that's such a classic tale. Like, you're right, people in our demographic, that's such a like common entry point, and that forms bonds mentally, and those things are sort of very hard to break.
And your social groups pressure you as well. Like it's kind of hard to say no to a lot of like my friends. If you're not going out on a weekend, you're kind of like, people get offended that you don't want to go out.
I've gotten really good at not doing that anymore. I definitely used to do that, but I think I've sort of realized how I feel when it's happening to me, and I've gotten really good if someone says like doing Sober October or Dry July or something like that. I've gotten really good at not pressuring them because of the feeling that I've had being on the other side of it. But you're right, it is something that definitely
happens. A problem. I think people definitely need to work on not making people feel shit for not drinking because
they've already got enough FOMO if they're not going out. Like if they're trying to have a sober period, there's enough FOMO already. Don't make them feel worse. Yeah.
JB's really good, I think, with me when I do my dry patches. In that he'll preempt that feeling to sort of diffuse any awkwardness straight away, that he will message me and be like, so do you want to go out this weekend or do you want to catch up or do something? And before I can sort of work up my social anxiety or whatever and be like, oh, fuck, now I have to say I'm not drinking and because of my mental health or whatever, he'll preempt that and go like...
So he like scopes it out.
Yeah, he will scope out and be like, we can go to and like suggest...
Gallery or something.
A number of things.
What tips would you give to someone that wants to have a break from alcohol? That
I think to be honest with the people that are important to you and that you still need to see and have that connection with. I know that's putting the onus back on you, which is unfortunate when you're going through a rough patch, but it helps give people the guidelines. It's just to be upfront and be like, I'm not doing well right now.
Yeah.
Alcohol is something that's really great for me in the moment when I'm not doing well, but it's fucking awful long the term, next day.
Yeah.
Or a couple, like sometimes it's a couple days later that it really hits.
Yeah, as we're getting older, it's getting harder.
It's the same when we talked about helping your friends with mental health. You just say, these are the things that make this really easy for me. One is if you invite me to something, you know, don't be offended if I don't respond or don't go to it. To come to things that don't involve alcohol with me, or like invite me to the pictures or whatever.
Yeah. Other activities.
Other activities.
That's the one thing that I've found on, in the very few dry patches that I've ever had, is making sure I've got stuff in my calendar for weekends.
Yeah,
you've got
to keep busy. Like,
but it's, also it's planning things ahead so that I'm not sitting on the couch
having FOMO and then, like,
And then someone messages you going, oh, hey, we're near your place. Do you want to go for a drink? We're going to go out. And then being like, okay, I'll do it. Like making sure I've got something in there so I'm already blocked out and I can just be like, nope, got something on.
And also, if you do end up going to somewhere that has alcohol, to have a dry wing buddy. Like, they can drink or whatever, but to have someone on your side that when you're in those weird group situations where someone will say, how come you're not drinking? For some reason, people feel like that's not an awkward question to ask someone at a party.
Yeah, true,
Like, how could
that... Also, it's nice to just have a weekend off now and then and do some life admin. Like, you can just get on top of stuff.
Yeah, to have a wingman by you that can jump in and be like, well, my friend's not drinking right now and, you know, I'm not doing it either for
someone's
this one or whatever, can really make it less scary to put yourself in those environments and then you feel more comfortable going to them in the first place.
It is that time of the night. We are done.
I've learned about Avengers. I'm so excited. I'm going to go home and watch all of it now.
What an informative journey.
You had politics, Avengers, Instagram, YouTubers, losing followers, alcohol.
Let's have a drink.
Don't forget to subscribe to our socials. Also, buy tickets for our show that we mentioned earlier.
Oh, that's right.
Yay.
I already forgot about
Come to that.
Can you please make sure this is in your diary, Luke?
Yeah, I'll be there.
Yeah, can you turn up, please?
We'll be back with all of our regular guests, hopefully, next week if Mikey's recovered. And until then,
bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.